For the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at different shepherds in the Old Testament and kind of doing some character studies on them and just seeing how God uses ordinary men to do extraordinary things. And I think it's very fitting that God used a lot of shepherds in the Bible, because there wasn't anything special about a shepherd. It wasn't like it was a highly trained occupation. You go out there and you watch sheep. And you protect sheep. And you hang out with sheep. And that's what you do. And so, you know, it's interesting that God used so many shepherds in the Bible to do extraordinary things for Him. And it just shows that God wants to use the everyday person for His glory. That we can all be used by God to do something big. You know, you don't have to be called to be a pastor. You don't have to be called to be an apostle or a prophet or anything like that. But God uses everybody for His glory. And so today we're going to be looking at Abraham. Abraham, he is called the father of faith. And so we're going to dive into his story and see how he started off as a shepherd, but God changed his life through his faith and made him into the father of faith. And so it's a very interesting study. I love doing character studies because, you know, the Bible really doesn't hold back on people's stories. Is what I like about it, is that, you know, you get to see the good and the bad. And I thank God I'm not in the Bible, because I don't necessarily want everybody to see the good and the bad of me. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all can attest to that as well. And so, but as we look through the life of Abraham, and next week we're going to look at Moses, and the next week King David, and we get to look into the lives of these men that God used to do extraordinary things, and you can see that, you know, they had great trust and great faith in God, that they made mistakes as well, and they overcame those mistakes, and God still used them for something big. And so today, as we look at Abraham, we're going to look at three different parts of his life. We're going to see his faith. We're going to see one of the mistakes that he made. And we're going to see his obedience. And God did something really huge through Abraham in a promise that he gave him, and something that Abraham was faithful to do. And it opened it up for God to do something big for us. And so we're going to dive in this today and see what happened in the life of Abraham. See, through the faithfulness of Abraham, his life is still making an impact today. You know, and as we're celebrating Father's Day, and you know, the video that we watched for Father's Day talked about legacy. And, you know, I believe we as dads should be thinking about our legacy. Not just how we're going to feed our family today, you know, what kind of fun can we have today, but we need to be thinking beyond today, even tomorrow, into the next generations. What can we do in our lives to affect generations after us? What is something positive that we can start? And this is what we see in the life of Abraham, is that because of something that he did, it's still affecting us today. And it's a pretty neat story to see that, because I think we all want to have that in our lives. Something that when we die, our legacy lives on. People are still changing for the good because of something that we did. Something that we started. Something that we might have taught our children. And so let's jump into the life of Abraham today and see what we can find out and what we can apply to our life. We find Abraham starting off as Abram in Genesis 11. And we don't really get a lot of background on Abram's background. You know, it kind of gives us a lineage. You know, his father is Terah. You know, he has, you know, these brothers, and this is kind of his family. These are who they married. Chapter 12. That's all that we know about him when we get started here. And so let's jump into this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. For the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All of the families on earth will be blessed through you. Here we see an interesting promise that's still being fulfilled. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him, who was his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to him, after he got to where he was going, the Lord appeared to him and said, I'll give you this land for your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. And so here we see this interesting story that the Lord appears to Abraham and he says, I want you to go to a country. I'm not telling you where you're going. I just want you to go. All right, let's bring this into our lives today. Let's say your boss comes to you and says, I want you to move. I'm not telling you where you're going, but I want you to just get in your car, pack everything up, head west, and I'll call you when you get there. Now, how many is going to sign up for this job? Nobody's going to sign up for that. But that's exactly what God did to Abram in this moment, in that he said, I just want you to pack everything, leave everything that you know, all of your family, I want you to leave it all behind, and I want you to go. Now, this shows some major trust in God with Abraham. Major trust. Because, you know, you just don't do that. And so there must have been a relationship here between Abram and God, for God to speak to him and him just like, all right, God, let's do it. You know, let's go. And, you know, there may be some of you in your life that God gave you some of this kind of, you know, maybe spoke to you in a way kind of like this, to where it's just like, okay, everything's going to change. Just trust me. Let's go. And I believe we all have these moments in our life, maybe not this big, to where just you just leave everything. Leave your family, leave where you grew up, and just go. But I believe God gives us these moments in life to where he says, this is what I want you to do. You just need to trust me on this one. Now, how many of y'all remember as kids, you know, your dad might have said something to you that sounded just crazy, and he just said, just trust me on this one. That's what our Father God asks us to do sometimes. Just trust me on this one. This might sound crazy. This might put you completely out of your comfort zone, but I need you to trust me because I want to bless you. I've got something for you. I've got something for you to do, and I need you to trust me on this one. How many of us are willing to trust God at the drop of a hat like that? See, us in our lives in this day and age, we like to plan. Like if I go on a trip, you know, I get on Google Maps. I map it out. You know, I see the three different, you know, the three best ways that you can get there from here. You know, how long it's going to take you, how many miles it's going to be. And you know, we just like to plan. Me and Miranda went to New York City one time back before we had kids and we could, you know, travel a little bit more freely. We went to New York City. Now, I've never been north of Missouri. And so, you know, we're going to New York City, the city that never sleeps, you know, I mean, just this huge place. And so, like, I was a little freaking out because I'm like, okay, I don't know anything about New York. And so I bought books. I studied for months about what was going on in New York City. What's the best things you need to see? You know, you got to go see the Statue of Liberty. You know, you got to go to, you know, Ground Zero, which, you know, they built something since then. Go to Wall Street, Times Square, Empire State. I mean, all the major things, you know, kind of like you know about. And so I jumped in there. I just started planning and just started reading, you know, just pouring in. You know, I'm just planning and planning and planning. And we had like, what was it, 4 days we were there, something like that, to see New York City. And so, you know, I put us on a tight time schedule. And if you know us, we don't do time schedules very well. And so we got to see most of it, but not all of it. And so, but that's what we're like in our lives. We like to like know everything before we go on a trip. But that's not how God works most of the time. See, God will tell us to do something and he won't give us the whole plan. I wish God would give me the whole plan. I wish he would show me right now everything that's going to happen between now and the end of my life, all of the things that he wants me to do and the places I need to go, and so I can plan it. But that's not how God works. What does God do? Hey, I need you to go. Go. Take the first step. Then I'll show you the next step. After you take that step, I'll show you the next step. And he takes us one step at a time through life. And we've just got to trust him in that. See, Psalms 37, 23 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." And I think that's very fitting in this, because the Lord directs our steps. One step at a time, He's directing us. But see, here's the thing. You know, lots of times God will put a dream in our hearts, put something big in our hearts. And we know that that's something God's called us to do, and we see it out there. But we're never willing to take the first step. And so we never go anywhere. So many Christians get stalled out in a certain place in their life because they're afraid to take this step, knowing that there's a dream out there, there's something big out there, but they don't want to take this step, and so they never go anywhere. They stay right there all of their life, saying, "God, how come nothing's happening? God, how come we're not realizing this dream? God, what's going on?" He said, "I told you to take this step, and you haven't taken it yet. I can't tell you the next step until you take this one." See, God directs our steps. Do you trust God with your steps? Or are you believing God for the whole thing? For the whole dream? For the whole plan? See, there's times in everybody's lives that we just have to trust. We just have to trust God when He tells us something. As crazy as it sounds, we've got to trust God to take that one step. See, Abraham is called the father of faith. And his faith journey began right here with that one step. And when he went, when God said, "Go," he was faithful in that. God gave him promises. So let's go on to the next stage of life. We jump ahead a few chapters to Genesis chapter 15. God made him this great promise. He said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to bless you and make you famous, and you'll bless others. And so a little while later, I think it's about 10 years later, he's hanging out where God told him to go. And Genesis 15:1, it says, "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said, 'Don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great.' But Abram replied, 'O sovereign Lord, what good are all these blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own. And so one of my servants will be my heir.' Then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir.' Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him," I love these moments like this, you know, where God just kind of blows your mind. You know, he's talking to you, and all of a sudden, "Here, come here, let me show you something." This is what he does to Abram. He said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. All right. Abram's 85 years old. 85 years old. Do you know anybody that's had a baby at 85 years old? I haven't met one yet. And so, you know, Abram, you know, he's going along. He's like, "I don't have any kids. You know, how am I going to be a great nation?" And God promises him, "You're going to have a son. You're going to have an heir." And he said, "Look at the sky." So that's how huge your family is going to be. If you can count the stars, that's how big it's going to be. That's your descendants through this one heir. But see, Abram didn't know what exactly God was promising him in this moment. Because God was not just talking about physical descendants of his bloodline. But he was talking so much more that's going to come through this one son that Abram's going to have. He had a promise. He's excited. He's already waited 10 years. Now he gets the promise that you're going to have a son. But see, then Abram decided to try to help God with that promise. Has anybody ever tried to help God with a promise before? Like, okay, God, I don't see anything happening. Maybe let's go try this. Let's see if this works. And nobody else has done that but me, right? Next chapter, Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, was not able to bear children for him. But she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." Now, does that sound like a good idea? Guys, let's talk for a second, okay? Just for a second. If your wife comes to you and asks you to sleep with somebody, some other woman, don't do it. I mean, it might sound like a great idea at the time, but really, don't do it, okay? Because it's going to cause a little bit of issue. And so, I mean, they were trying to figure this out. They're like, okay, you know, Sarah's not going to be able to have a baby, so maybe God's going to use this. And they try to help God with the promise. And I know none of us have ever tried to do this before when God shows us a plan and we try to help him. All right? It comes back to the trust, okay? So let's see what happens in this scenario. And so Abram agreed to Sarai's proposal. He thought, like, okay, sounds good to me, whatever. All right, so Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew that she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is your fault." That sounds about right, right? "I put my servant in your arms, and now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." Abram replied, "Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. All right, so we see one of Abram's mistakes here. He's trying to help God with the promise. He's trying to do right. His heart's in the right place, I believe, and trying to help God fulfill the promise. But when we try to step in and do God's job, we tend to mess some things up. We tend to mess some things up. See, Isaiah 55, 8, it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything that you can imagine. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." See, lots of times we try to figure out what God's thinking. And let me tell you something, we're not even in the same galaxy. His thoughts are so much more than ours. So much bigger. His plans are so much bigger than what we could ever imagine. So much bigger. God has so much more. I believe that if God showed us exactly the end plan that he has for our life, it would scare us and we would run away. I believe that. Because God wants to do so much more in your life than you could ever do on your own. And he's going to put you in situations where you have to trust him in order to fulfill what's in your heart. And that's the way God wants it. So it's not you doing it, it's him doing it. See, Abram had a huge promise. He said, "Your descendants, like the stars, you're not going to be able to count them." And God's about to give him another promise that's going to go way beyond what Abram ever thought. But see, we still have to deal with this issue of Hagar. See, Hagar ended up having a baby. They named him Ishmael, which means God heard. And so we see this situation to where Ishmael is here, but he's not the one God promised. And so in verse 21, Sarah gets pregnant. And she has a baby. They name him Isaac. Abram was 100 years old when he had a baby. Could you imagine being 100 years old and trying to take care of a baby? I don't know if I can do it now. I'm 36. And, you know, a baby's a lot of work. They keep you up at night. You have to take care of them. You have to feed them. 100 years old, Abram has a baby. They name him Isaac. But see, we still have Ishmael here. See, here's one of the things that we have to look at. Is that in life, sometimes we make decisions that are bad, and there's consequences that we have to deal with. Right? See, Jesus took care of the ultimate consequence at the cross, and so that we don't have to die and go to hell. But in life, when we make bad choices, we still have consequences, don't we? We still have some stuff to deal with. And so, we have to deal with Ishmael. In Genesis chapter 21, after Isaac was born, verse 8, it said, "When Isaac grew up and was about to be weaned, Abraham prepared a huge feast to celebrate the occasion. But Sarah," they're now Abraham and Sarah, God changed their names. "But Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant Hagar, making fun of her son Isaac." Now let me say something here. If you want to make a mama mad, make fun of their kids, right? Some sweet little old lady is going to be turning into a bear and come after you. Don't be making fun of someone's kids, all right? So she turned to Abraham and demanded, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son. He's not going to share the inheritance with my son, Isaac. I won't have it." This upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was his son as well. But God told Abraham, says, "Don't be upset over Ishmael. Don't be upset about the boy and the servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. But I will also make a great nation out of the descendants from Hagar's son, because he is your son too." See, here, you know, that doesn't sound like a big deal right now. But there was a great nation that came out of Ishmael as well. Because God promised Abraham that his descendants are going to be many. If you follow the bloodline of Ishmael, you know what you find? You find Islam. The second largest religion in the world that is directly contrasting to Christianity. See, God made a great nation out of Ishmael too. And it's something that we're fighting still today. Because you can go and read in the Quran, and they trace the lineage all the way back to Abraham. Just like Judaism does. See, in life, when we make bad choices, sometimes we still have to deal with the consequences. And sometimes our kids have to. And the people behind us. Generations. So we have to be careful when we make choices, especially you young people. I remember when I was a teenager, I thought, you know, the decisions I make now, you know, they won't last very long. You know, the bad choices I make. But there's still things that I deal with that I did when I was 16. There's still issues that I'm dealing with. There's still some habits in my life that I'm dealing with that I started when I was 16. See, we got to realize there are consequences to our actions. And sometimes it might sound like a great idea at the moment, but it's not worth it. So let's carry on from Abram's mistake. And let's go on to some better stuff here. Genesis chapter 22. You know, sometimes in life, our faith gets tested as well. And this is one thing that we don't like to hear about, because God does test our faith sometimes. See, God doesn't tempt us, but he does test us at times. All right? The Bible says that he doesn't test us, he doesn't tempt us with evil because there's no evil in him. But there's times, there's tests of our faith that come along to prove our faith. And Abraham has one of these moments. We find in verse 22, chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God said, yes, he replied, I am here. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. As we read this, listen to see if this sounds familiar to another story in the Bible. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to a land of Moriah, and go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. See, Abraham is the son of promise. There's going to be many generations come through Isaac, but God's asking him to sacrifice him on the mountain. What do you think Abraham does? What are you going to do? If God asked me to, if some voice in my head asked me to sacrifice my son, I'm going to say, get behind me, Satan. Let me just say this. God's not going to ask you to sacrifice your kids, okay? Throwing that out there. Food for thought. All right. So the next morning, Abraham got up and he saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. And he chopped the wood for the fire, for the burnt offering, and set out to the place God told him about. And on the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said, stay here with the donkeys, he said to his servants. The boy and I will go a little bit further. We will worship there, then we will come right back. Does that sound like a statement of faith to you? Absolutely. So Abraham took the wood, burnt offering, and put it on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two walked together, Isaac turned to Abraham, his father, and he said, Father, yes, son, we have the fire and we have the wood. I can imagine that. Isaac getting a little antsy here. So we have fire and wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. And when they arrived at the place where God told them to go, Abraham built the altar, arranged the wood. He tied his son Isaac and laid him on top of the wood. Laid him on top of the wood. Then Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. I couldn't even imagine. That is some serious trust in God at this moment. Because that goes against everything that naturally in our mind that... At this moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied. Here I am. I'm sure Abraham was like, okay, I don't want to do this. And so when he heard the voice, I'm sure he was pretty relieved. It says, don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Don't hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked and saw a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. And so he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Does this remind you of another story that we read in the Bible? About somebody who's willing to sacrifice his one and only son. That the son carried the wood on his back to where he was going to go be sacrificed. See, Isaac is a picture of Jesus. See, in that, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son. See, it opened the door for God to be able to step in and give his one and only son for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Isaac is a picture of Jesus. Because Abraham was willing to trust God, now God has a door to come in and make the ultimate sacrifice through Jesus Christ. See, in Genesis 22:16, it says, this is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and not withheld even your only son, I swear by my name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemy. And through your descendants, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. See, these are some good consequences to a good decision that he made. But how are all of the nations of the world blessed because of Abraham's obedience? See, the ultimate blessing is Jesus Christ. The ultimate blessing is when God comes in, when God comes in and changes your heart, he changes your life. That's the ultimate blessing. All of the nations of the world are blessed because God gave his only son. And because Abraham was faithful and obedient, God was able to do that in life. My last scripture, Galatians 3, 6 through 9. I love this so much. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted to him as righteousness because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. See, it switched from a physical bloodline. See, Abraham's physical bloodline, there's multitudes of people. As the stars and as the sand. His bloodline is huge because we have the Jewish nation that come out of him. But here it says the real children of Abraham are those who put their faith in God. See, we are children of Abraham as well because of our faith. What more? The scripture looked forward to a time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All the nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Isn't that great news? See, the promise was a lot bigger than Abraham ever thought because he was thinking physical bloodline. But see, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're all part of the family of Abraham. We are all sharing in the blessing of Abraham through our faith. See, Abraham was the father of faith. He started off as a shepherd. And God used an ordinary shepherd to open the door for Jesus to come into the world and to change the world. See, God wants to use you as well. God wants to use you as well. You might be like the shepherd. There might not be anything exciting and special that you see in your life. But God doesn't look at the physical. God looks at what's in the heart, what he placed there, the potential he placed there, the callings and the gift that he placed on the inside of you. And he wants to use those to take you far beyond what you can ever imagine, what you could ever think, what you could ever dream up. God wants to use you to change the world. But you got to be willing to take that first step. You got to be willing to take that first step. In obedience to him. Maybe that first step for you today is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never given him your life. You never said, "God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I realize that I'm a sinner and I need to be changed." Maybe that's your first step today. Today's your chance to take that step. Maybe your next step needs you need to come back to God because you've been away from him, because you've decided to go on your own way and try to help God do something and you've gotten way off. Or maybe you're lured away by the things the world has to offer. Your next step is to come back to him. I urge you today to say a simple prayer. Say, "God, what's my next step? What do you need me to do next?" Prayer team, go ahead and come up. Father, thank you today. God, we thank you for Abraham. God, we thank you for the faith that he had in you, the trust that he had in you. God, I pray that we could, God, capture that heart in us, God, and have that same trust to when you tell us to go, we go. Even though we don't know what the future holds, what the next step is, God, we're willing to do it. God, I just pray as we say that simple prayer today, God, show me the next step. God, that you're faithful and you show that you're speaking to hearts today. God, I thank you that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, that you're drawing them to you today, God, and change their hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we all stand and worship together? If you need prayer, come ahead.